produces what some of us call Brown's gas, which is then ducted into the air intake to effect a more efficient burn of the fuel, enabling the car to achieve 40 miles per gallon in a muscle car. This marks the first milestone, major milestone, of this hydroxy technology, which is often thought of in terms of a bunch of garage tinkerers playing around with cheap do-it-yourself kits from plans bought from ebooks online. No longer the case with Ron Motor Company's coming on deck. Damon, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Well, you and I had an interview a little more than a year ago talking about Ron Motors Company. Then you are now much closer to having your car in production. I know you can't give a date yet, but can you give us a ballpark idea of when this will be on the market?
Well, we've got actually three frames that'll be going under construction here probably in the next few weeks. So sometime this quarter we should be in production. 50 cars late this quarter, early next quarter.
How would you compare yourself to Tesla Motor Company? That's an electric vehicle, of course. Yours is a petrol vehicle, but you're both, pushing the envelope technology and efficiency-wise.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's two different approaches. We've looked at several technologies. We kind of think of ourselves sort of as a technology company. We look like a car company on the outside, but we've looked at electric and, the fuel cells and several different things. And then our view right now is to try to bring something you can actually use without, being in a limited range or, in a certain part of the country where they might have stations, something kind of a step technology until the rest of it comes online.
Mm-hmm.
The Tesla, I hope they do well. And, the electric technology, I think, works. The problems that, we see with it is mainly, a family trying to go, say, on vacation. If you're in an electric car, where are you going to plug it in with current logistics?
Mm-hmm.
It would be good, I think, in a commuter type thing or in a limited range, but there's just the infrastructure's just not there yet, in our opinion, so we've tried to come up with something to kind of bridge the gap, if you will.
I should also mention that your technology is not just going to be limited to the Scorpion and Ron Motor Company produced vehicles, but that your hydrogen production unit is going to be made available as a add-on or a retrofit for other vehicles. Is that correct?
That's true. Currently, we're finishing up final testing on over-the-road rigs and Ford 4654 engine families, and those should be in production within the next 60 to 90 days.
Mm-hmm. When you say final testing, what does that entail?
Well, we've got an in-house chassis dyno that we do all of our electronics testing and emissions and mileage, and then, of course, you need to put one, on several different vehicles and let the average driver do actual real-world testing. We've got some of them on big rigs out in West Texas in the oil fields, which is a pretty bad environment from a standpoint of things holding up, and then we've got some on over-the-road trucks that are running from Dallas area out west towards El Paso, California for, long haul, long time. Some of the other people that have been involved in this type of technology have had problems with overheating and overamping and things like that, and we wanted to make sure that our in-house testing, we validate that with, real-world scenarios, and of course, let some people that aren't part of the company test it and then get their feedback instead of just standing there telling everybody we have something that works with nobody to say yes it does or no it doesn't.
Would you call that beta testing?
Yeah, to a point. I mean, we already obviously knew we had something that worked or we weren't going to, we're in FedEx is one of the companies I can talk about, and then there's R.J. Pitkin is an oil frac tank service, and before we went to, a large company, we did some pretty extensive testing in-house and on our own vehicles. And but you know, part of what has held this technology back, in our opinion, has been the controversial nature. And you know, there's people out there that are making claims that are a little far-fetched, and there's people that, you know, have had some of the other units and haven't been able to get them tuned right or whatever the problem's been. And so it's not so much beta testing as you might call it third-party verification, I guess, of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would put it out there with somebody that doesn't know anything about it and just, you know, turn it on and go drive it and let us know what you think.
On your website at ronmotors.com, when I click on hydrogen fuel ejection, there's a couple of blue units with heat sink fins around the edges of them. Very nice, you know, professional-looking devices. Is that what people will be getting when they buy these?
Well, that's the actual electronic control unit. The hydrogen itself, some people call them generators, but the basic unit that produces hydrogen is really, when you come down to it, somewhat of a glorified high school experiment. Making the hydrogen is not the hard part. What becomes difficult, especially on late model vehicles, to include the over-the-road trucks is getting the engine to accept the hydrogen and do something with it. Most of, you know, as you know, the late model cars, and we've seen it on, in particular, some of the late model Volvo big trucks have got many, many emission controls that will, you know, as everybody that's been involved in this knows, override the effects of the hydrogen, and you've got to deal with that in some form or fashion. And that's what that blue unit does, among other things. We've talked with CARB out in California and EPA, and their concerns revolve more around if something were to go wrong with the unit, or somebody didn't fill it up, or they just decided to turn it off, or for whatever reason it wasn't working, that the vehicle revert to stock emissions controls. And this unit automatically reverts it. It's got several sensors, one to monitor what's going on with the mixture, one to monitor heat of the unit, one to monitor for any kind of an excess pressure buildup, and several other safety devices. And what they do, two or three of them we actually use to control it and make it work properly, but as an added benefit, along with a few of the other controls, if this thing were to malfunction for any reason, it automatically turns itself off and reverts all the stock emission controls to the way they were before we touched it.
Now, for the layperson in the Arizona area who may be listening to this live, maybe hasn't heard of this technology before, let's give them just a quick lay of the land in terms of the improvement in efficiency of the vehicles in the performance. Just kind of give the quick overview of the technology for them.
Well, there's several opinions in NASA and MIT, and there's been several people do studies. I don't think, you know, honestly, and this might not sound real good, but honestly, I don't think anybody knows exactly the reason that this works, you know, down to the point where they could write a paper on it, but in relative terms, what it does, the hydrogen burns at a faster and hotter rate than standard hydrocarbon fuels. There's three or four different ways of looking at it, but the mainstream and is basically that it improves the burn of the fuel that's already there. There's, for the naysayers, you know, the most of them quote laws of thermodynamics and conservation of energy, and they're correct. If you were trying to just produce this hydrogen and burn it as a method of making energy, it wouldn't work. You can't possibly make enough hydrogen to create enough power to offset the power draw from whatever, you know, device alternator, or what it be, that is powering it. So what it does, properly introduced in the right ratios, is cause the already existing fuel to burn more efficiently. That reduces emissions and you know, obviously increases mileage.
Would the proper word be catalyst then?
I don't know if that's the proper word. It's, I suppose you could look at it that way, but really what it does is modify the flame front in the combustion chamber and cause the fuel to be burnt in a more efficient manner.
Okay.
Possibly, some people believe, by breaking the clusters up or burning what wouldn't have been burnt because of the temperatures.
What kind of percentages of improvement in fuel economy are you looking at with these fuel injection units?
Well, we quote 15 to 35%. Most of the gas pickup trucks are 20% plus, and we're seeing anywhere from the 20th to 30th percentile ranges on the big over-the-road trucks.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot when you're burning that much fuel. So it's certainly, what kind of return on investment are you looking at for a rig that's driving all the time?
Well, the quotes from the two that we've already talked about are in the 1 month to 6 week range, worst case scenario. So, not very long.
When we come back from break, here in a few, going to break in a few seconds here, let's talk about some of the Brown's gas aspects and how it relates to this hydrogen injection unit that you have and why you don't call it Brown's gas.
For program lineups, station info, advertising, and more, log on at 1100kfnx.com.
Have you lost 20, 30, even 40% of your retirement portfolio twice this decade? Our clients haven't. This is Tom Bruckner, president of Strategic Asset Conservation in Scottsdale. We pride ourselves on being one of the only firms in the Valley whose clients never lose money, sleep well at night, and enjoy a worry-free retirement. Give us a call at 480-661-6800. That's 480-661-6800. 480-661-6800. The only thing you have to lose are those sleepless nights.
In these challenging times, ensuring financial security for you and those you care about may be more important than ever, and Farm Bureau Financial Services can help. Life insurance can help provide the security along with guarantees and peace of mind. Contact Adam Button at 480-244-9077 to review your current life insurance needs and learn how we can help you secure your family's financial future. Again, 480-244-9077. The guarantees expressed are based upon the claims-paying ability of Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. 480-244-9077.
I plug the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
For your organization or business to survive in these challenging times, you'll need cutting-edge information. The Keylight Company is a psychological business consultation firm. Keylight offers executive coaching, organizational development, seminars, ghostwriting services, and public speaking. Mention KFNX and receive a 20% discount. For business consultation, call the Keylight Company today, 323-935-5775. That's 323-935-5775.
Free energy, now!
Welcome back to the show. This is Sterling Allen. We are talking tonight to Damon Kuhn from Ron Motor Company. That's the muscle car company, the Scorpion. They're going to be the first production vehicle on in the market to use hydrogen boost technology. Now, before the break, we mentioned that there's the Brown's gas is what this is sometimes called when you have onboard electrolysis generating hydrogen oxygen gas, which is commonly ducted, meaning both gases go through the same tube into the air intake. That's called Brown's gas, and there's some very unusual characteristics, possibly some ionic stuff, some maybe even rather than a chemical reaction, it could be some ionic reactions going on. Definitely unusual. You can take Brown's gas and wave it across your hand and just feel a little bit of heat, but it doesn't burn you. I've done this before. And then you can take the same setting and you can sublimate tungsten in a few seconds, which sublimates at 4,000 degrees or something like that. So this is not operating based on heat. There's something else going on there. And yet, you're saying that you don't really call your system a Brown's gas, and you talk about hydrogen injection. You don't talk about the oxygen component. Is this hydrogen and oxygen, and why don't you call it Brown's gas?
Well, to be blatantly honest with you, because I talk too slow to argue with anybody, but, the Brown's gas name, as everybody knows, came from, a guy that was playing with it years ago. And what we're trying to do here, there's many, many people that know that this works, but there's just as many, possibly more, who say it can't possibly work, chemical engineers or electrical engineers. If you do the actual chemical breakdown of the formulas and take a look at what actually would happen when you're doing this, and the arguments that it shouldn't be called HHO or, 100 different arguments for what it should be called, and rather concentrate on what we ought to call it or any number of those arguments, we chose to spend our time figuring out how to make it work properly. The ionic thing, there's any number of theories out there about how and why it works. And as I said earlier, I don't think anybody completely understands why it works at this point. And to be completely honest with you, I'm not too sure that matters. It does work. We spend a great deal of time doing combustion temperature research and things like this to.
Please don't take this the wrong way.
The process work better, and we need to understand exactly what's going on. But like I said, several very high-end, NASA, MIT, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what makes it work. I don't think anybody's there. But back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, nobody exactly knew why gasoline worked either. So, I think there's more to it than just heat. Exactly how it interacts, I'm not sure, but we refer to it, as the hydroxen, hydrogen gas. Just to keep it simple, it is, the same thing, hydrogen and oxygen, and it is being injected as one.
Your volume is coming up and down for me. I don't know if that's coming from the station's end or from, are you talking straight into the mouthpiece?
Okay. Out in the country, man, let me try moving here a little bit and see if that works a little better.
Yeah, that's good there.
Okay. Try that for a while.
Okay. So, bottom line is there are a lot of theories about how this thing works, but what you're focused on is the fact that it does work, and you're trying to optimize that it works in the best way possible.
My background, part of it is in race engines, and I've done a lot of design work, camshaft-wise, combustion chambers, things like this, and spent a lot of time optimizing race engines and what have you, and part of the reason that we quote the figures that we quote as far as percentages is because we tune the engine to make sure that the combustion chambers aren't way out of line temperature-wise from where they are stocked. You can actually get, as we've seen on the dyno, higher mileage gains, but that's at the expense of not as much reduction in emissions, or if you go too far, making worse emissions than what you had stock. And people talk about the mileage a lot, but you know, with the current political scenario and the carbon credit thing and things like this, the emissions are likely going to be more important soon than the mileage. And already in California, the train cars, some of the reefers are not allowed in there because of the emissions. But what we found when we were working on that was there's a kind of a sweet spot, if you will, and if you tune it to a certain level on two of the emission components, that pretty much optimizes the system, makes a good balance between the mileage gain and the emission reduction. So,
how many horsepower is the engine on your Scorpion?
The Scorpion, the big engine, is 657 horsepower right now.
That's pretty good. And so this is a muscle car, and you're getting 40 miles per gallon with your hydrogen boost system added on there. Now, is that, if I remember right, that's an Acura engine?
It's an Acura VTEC 3.5. Now, just to keep everybody honest, it's not just the hydrogen. We've got some other patented things on there. One of them is called a Pro Cooler, which Ron, the CEO, has the patents on from years ago. It causes the air conditioner to draw less horsepower, and it's a proprietary intercooler that's air conditioned. And the car itself is lightweight. Carbon fiber, aerodynamic. We've done kind of a package. And the car, you know, the controversy that goes on with this, part of our thought was, well, okay, if we build a supercar, you know, that's obviously not cheap, and use this as a test bed for these technologies and prove them on that, it makes it a little bit more valid. And, you know, like I said before, we've got several technologies under development, and this is a good platform to get it out. Nobody else in this business, as far as the, you know, the larger companies, really has any kind of a test platform to demonstrate it. So that was part of the thought behind the car. Plus, we're all car guys, so we like the car.
Now, in that regard, you can say that your approach is similar to the Tesla Motors company, where they're using a really fancy car as their premier model, following up with something that's a little more practical, a sedan, that's the sticker price is much lower.
Yeah.
After is that a similar approach that you're looking at?
That's pretty much the exact approach. What we looked at early on, I've got a fairly heavy manufacturing background, and if we were to have come out with, say, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 car, you know, and try to produce it in mass quantities, we wouldn't be in business. I mean, you've got to start somewhere where you can make some profit and have some longevity. And that's exactly where we're headed. We'll have another, more family-oriented, somewhat cheaper car coming out within the next year.
I have to say, as far as my tastes are concerned, I actually like the look of the Scorpion even better than the Tesla Roadster, which is a very nice-looking car. You've done a very nice job on your design work.
Well, thank you. Nice. To be honest, I had nothing to do with the outside of it, though. That was wrong.
You're the inside. You have somebody else working on the outside, huh?
Yeah, they call him pretty in the shop and me functional. And I guess there's a reason for that.
All right. Another thing we'll want to address, we're coming up on the break at the bottom of the hour here for news and whatnot, but let's get into talking about some of the when you have this unit that's going to be made available for other vehicles. That's kind of one of the spin-off advantages of this. You've had some money to work with to do the engineering and designing on this hydrogen boost system. Now you're making that hydrogen boost system available not just for the Scorpion, but for other vehicles as well. Let's talk about how that's going to look, and you know what the price tag is going to look like, and things like that. You know, what vehicles is it going to be made available for? You know, those kinds of things.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right.
Looks like we didn't time
it. Streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com. kfnx.com.
CNN Radio Special Report, I'm Greg Black. It was a movie that made people cry.
Molly, why can't you hear me?
Tonight, fans of actor Patrick Swayze are crying again over news of his death. The star of the movie Ghost had been battling pancreatic cancer for the past 20 months. More recently, People Magazine's David Kaplan says Swayze did a television show while he was undergoing treatment for that cancer.
He did that show Beast, which was an A&E show, and it was, you know, later canceled. And he really, you know, garnered the strength. You know, he told people that this was really a project that was near and dear to him, that he was going to do it.
But to millions of fans, of course, Swayze will forever be known for his breakout role in the movie Dirty Dancing.
No, Miss Fix-It, somebody else can't fill in. Maria has to work all day. She can't learn the routines. And Jenna has to fill in for Penny. Everybody works here. What, do you want to do it? Want to take time out from Simon Says?
This has been a CNN Radio special report.
Some showers in the high country this afternoon, that's about it. Partly cloudy down here, and just a bit cooler for the next couple of days. Let's go 100 to 102. Overnight lows now in the mid-70s. Jim Howe, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 91 degrees.
But I'm cheering for these individuals at the CIA who decided they were going to do what they knew was the right thing to do, despite the fact that probably a few years later, some lawyer in the Justice Department was going to be looking over their shoulders in a 20/20 hindsight and say, oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. That whole thing with the blowing the smoke in the face of the terrorists, no, you can't do that. Secondhand smoke, you can't do that.
Tune in to the Laura Ingraham Show, weekdays at 6 a.m.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842. 3842.
You've got some old tires you want to throw out. A dishwasher that just doesn't work anymore. Maybe it's time for that 1962 rusted out Edsel to go. Where do you take it? Not out in the middle of the desert. That's called illegal dumping. It's lazy, it's ugly, and it's against the law. Don't be a chump. Take it to the dump. To find out where, go to takeittothedump.com. Illegal dumping, it's the worst kind of trash. Sponsored by Maricopa County Solid Waste. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Gonna make the changes of life today. We will work without for profit. Grab this movement for the words we say. We want to make the world a little bit better. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now. Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
That's a toll-free call-in number if you're listening live, 866-536-1100. We're broadcasting live out of KFNX 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona. And we, of course, make our archives available internationally, and people can listen live internationally through the KFNX website. We are talking tonight to Damon Kuhn, COO of Ron Motor Company. Again, they have this hydrogen boost technology on a muscle car that is really sexy, $150,000 sticker price. But they also, as a spin-off of this technology, are going to be making a unit available, the hydrogen-producing unit, that improves fuel efficiency for other vehicles. With that device installed on their vehicle, this muscle car is going to be getting 40 miles per gallon. Imagine that. What did he say? 657 horsepower vehicle getting 40 miles per gallon. That's really good. And so you can apply that technology to your gas guzzler or non-gas guzzler, and it'll improve your mileage from 15 to 30 miles, or 30%. So let's talk, Damon, about this unit that you're making available to the non-Scorpion vehicle as an add-on or retrofit to other vehicles.
Okay. There's actually two different sizes, if you will. The large over-the-road truck unit is about the size of all the batteries they use in those trucks, the main unit. And then the electronics we were talking about earlier in the blue heat sink box, that's actually, that one is somewhat a prototype. We use the same company that builds some of the things for the F-16 and some of the other military applications. The electronics are packaged and then potted in the same material they use for the black boxes and things like this in the military. And in their case, they don't want somebody tearing into it. In our case, for corrosion resistance and vibration resistance and heat, shield the unit from any possible degradation. That on the small cars will be likely installed within the main unit just to cut down on space requirements. So you'd have in the cars and the light pickups, you'd have something about the size of a motorcycle battery, a little bit bigger than that. And then there's a separate unit, which is the water reservoir / bubbler / some of the controls are hooked in there to monitor pressures and temperatures and things. The big truck unit, like I said, is going to have one about the size of a truck battery and then a separate tank, roughly half that size for water. And then there'll be some dash lights that, depending on the application, will be installed in a small plate, similar to, that was ScanGauge that's been mentioned on your, commercials, about that size. And in the big trucks, there's a switch available with those lights.
You bring up that ScanGauge. I might mention that I have found in, historically, we've been selling that ScanGauge for almost 4 years now, and I would say a good 30% of our customers come from people who are doing some kind of hydrogen boost technology on their vehicles, and they want to document before and after mileage. And the ScanGauge is an excellent device to give you instantaneous readout as well as trip computation, so you can see how well you're doing at any given point. It's a great tool, and it's very cost-effective for giving you that kind of feedback.
Well, we actually use one in the Scorpion for on-the-road testing because the emissions testers and things like that off the dyno obviously won't fit in a car that size, so we can run around and compare the gallons per hour and things like that off the dyno to real road testing in the car. So, yeah, we actually do have one of those.
Will the dashboard unit also give you a readout as to the water level, whether if it's getting empty so you need to fill it up?
Well, it's got actually several different things. It's got one that's a power light, and that will actually change colors when the water gets low. It gives you about about a 500 to 1,000 mile heads up that it's time to fill it up. There's also a light on there if there's ever anything to go wrong. It'll turn red, and that's a signal that the unit's been automatically turned off, and either you forgot to put water in it or there's some other malfunction. And on the big trucks, the box, without giving away anything that's proprietary right now, is split into stages, if you will. And when it idles, we don't want the whole box running because of the amp draw, for one thing. It's another thing. If we found that if you put too much of this mixture in, you can actually, turn your emissions back around to stock, or, if you can get bad enough with it, worse than stock. So we meter the amount of hydrogen going in. And on the big trucks, there's a light that lights up when you're under full boost to tell you that the unit's actually on a high setting also. So, yeah, there's water level lights, power lights, malfunction lights, so that you don't have to get out and go look in the thing every time you stop.
What about electrolyte? Is that something you're going to have to be adding from time to time, or is that going to...
No. Now, we looked at that early on, and there's several problems with using what most of the experimenters are using. One of them, your baking soda type thing, that, as many people know, emits a noxious gas, and that's not going to work for EPA or CARB or any of them. Two of the other popular ones create basically a hazardous material as they deplete, and when you clean the tank out, you need to kind of rinse these out every now and then, clean them up for the longest possible use. And two of those catalysts, you'd actually have to take to some kind of a hazard material waste area to dispose of, and in our mind, that wasn't very green. And the other side of it is, my mom is probably not going to go to the hardware store and buy something with a skull and crossbones on it, try to dump it in her car. And then people like me that come from a hot rod background always think, well, if one spoonful is good, about 15 ought to be better. So we chose to go with straight just tap water. Now we do use, a common household chemical that doesn't create any of those gases, and mainly for mold control. I mean, if you run one of these cars, I've got, for example, a truck that sits in my garage except when I'm towing a race car, so I might run that thing 2,000 miles and then park it, and it doesn't come out for a couple of weeks, and then I live in the Texas humidity, and you can run into problems with mold and mildew and things like that. So what we chose was something that doesn't matter if you put it in. It helps with longevity to some extent. It helps with control and that type of thing. But if you were to fill it 100% with that, it wouldn't make any difference. And if you don't put any in, it doesn't make too much difference either.
What about freezing for colder climates and times of year?
Well, there's several approaches to that. One of them, one of the controls I failed to mention earlier, we've actually got something to preheat this unit with. It takes these things, if you were to allow it to run just normally, anywhere from, 5 minutes to a half an hour, depending on the ambient temperature, to get up to full operating capacity. And then in a freezing situation, it could take a lot longer than that. So what we've done, we've got temperature controls, which are part of the safety, but they're also, if it senses that the box is below a preset temperature, it turns heaters on within the box to warm it up quickly. That can also be cycled on and off in cold weather, and then, of course, you can put some alcohol in it. And for the people that are way up north that are used to plugging their cars in, they can actually plug it in just like they would, an engine heater or dipstick or whatever they're using, and keep it warm.
So this is, if it were to freeze, it's not going to be cracking something?
No, it makes no difference. The only thing that would happen is it's going to take a few minutes to warm up before it'll do you any good.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things, as we come back from this NISC break, that you're going to want to be getting into is the, you've got different outputs of hydrogen. And are you governing the level of hydrogen production so that as you are revving up the engine, speeding down the road, you're producing more as opposed to when you're idling at the stoplight?
Yes, we do. I guess we're probably going to have to discuss when we get back. I guess the weather involved, there's several different reasons for doing that. Some of them some people I don't think have thought of. But yes, it is governed.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back from break.
Lars Larson, your dog in the fight. These days, the Associated Press, as far as I'm concerned, is an evil organization. An Associated Press photographer is taking pictures of soldiers on a mission. One of the soldiers was hit, unfortunately, by a rocket-propelled grenade. An Associated Press photographer took his picture as his fellow soldiers tried to save his life. His father begged the AP not to publish the photo, and the AP said, "We're going to do it anyway."
The Lars Larson Show, Monday through Fridays at 10 p.m.
If you're not getting the results you want from business and from life, here's your opportunity to recharge, refocus, and revitalize your dreams at no cost. Register now for the powerful series of free business seminars to be held at Grand Canyon University. Sessions start September 29th. Seating is limited. Register now, 602-993-4307. That's 602-993-4307. It's the Valley Helping the Valley free business seminar series starting September 29th at Grand Canyon University. Learn the skills that build a winning team. Learn how to persuade and influence through listening and communicating. Revitalize your business, yourself, and your community. The Valley Helping the Valley business seminar series. Register today, 602-993-4307. WCW Partners, a performance improvement company, is your host for this three-track business seminar. Sponsors include Better Business Bureau, Scottsdale Mesa and Glendale Chambers, and the Phoenix First Assembly. This seminar will not only tell you what to do to improve your business, it'll show you how to do it. Call 602-993-4307, 602-993-4307.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842. 3842.
Free energy now.
Sterling Allen coming back at you up here at Eagle Mountain, Utah. We're quite a stone's throw away from the Phoenix area, but we do appreciate KFNX for carrying this show. I might mention that Free Energy Now has been brought to you by eHarmony.com, where singles are matched based on compatibility. On average, 236 eHarmony members marry every day in the U.S. as a result of being matched on eHarmony. I went to a wedding reception this last weekend of someone I know very well who met his partner through eHarmony.com. Log on to eHarmony.com and you can review all of your matches absolutely free. If you want to subscribe, use the promotion code EHPESN. That's for eHarmony PESN, our call letters. And you'll get 1 of 3 months free. Again, the promotion code is EHPESN. We're talking tonight to Damon Kuhn, COO of Ron Motor Company. This is a company that is coming up with a muscle car called the Scorpion. They'll be using hydrogen boost technology and making that technology available as a retrofit kit for other vehicles. Damon, let's talk for a minute about the performance aspect. I'm just curious, when you were designing, if I understand right, you're kind of the brains behind the technology and the efficiency or the performance end of this vehicle. And you were one of the ones who was primarily responsible for choosing to go with the hydrogen boost system. How much did increase of performance, did that attribute play a role in your decision to go with the hydrogen boost technology?
Well, years ago, when I was racing is when I first started playing with this. And I was actually, they check our fuel, and they check specific gravity, and you're limited to the type of fuel, but it doesn't say that you can't put something in the intake. So that's what originally sparked my interest probably 15, 20 years ago in playing with this, but because of the way it burns, it'll allow you, for instance, in our case, with a turbocharged engine, to run quite a bit more boost than you normally would be able to. So, you know, the hydrogen gas, if you will, not necessarily the performance gain is probably not exactly from that, but it will allow you to do things with the engine that you normally wouldn't be able to do on regular gasoline. So it's significant.
And how much have you taken a hit as a company, controversy-wise, in terms of people looking at you askew because you're doing what with your engine?
Well, I don't think it really has hurt us. I mean, we've obviously had a few people that have questioned it and probably will continue to do so for a while, but most of the people that have come on site to the plant and had a look and watched it on the dyno, you know, a lot of them came in as total disbelievers, or I don't know, I'm an open book, but once they see what happens, and a lot of these people are fairly experienced car people, it doesn't take too long to, you know, get them in a positive attitude.
How much of a, what is it going to take to turn the head of the big motor companies to what you're doing and what others are doing with this technology? Why are they not getting on board with it?
Well, there's several reasons. One of them is just because there are massive corporations, and without getting political here, they get money from the government and have for years. For them to try to tool up and do this type of research would take a lot longer. We're a fairly small organization. And myself and Ron both hold patents that we've tried to take to the big three before, and one of the things that they are fairly notorious for is, they've got a group of engineers that, I call them book engineers, that read the book and then they said it won't work, so it won't work. To try to get them tipped over, I think is going to take enough of these out there. We're pursuing EPA and CARB approval once they've, publicly said that, this is approved and it's a real technology. I believe that might start it. We're actually in talks with one of the big three right now. Indirectly, the engine manufacturer has called us, looking for help, to use this technology instead of some of the things they're having to use to try to control emissions. So I think it will come, but it's going to take getting, enough of these out there that there's, enough public awareness on the good side to get somebody's attention.
Right. Now, these retrofit kits, you talked about initially you're going to be targeting the over-the-road rig market. Do you eventually see these also being available for the mom-and-pop minivans, pickup trucks, and whatnot?
Well, absolutely, but now we don't manufacture the unit. We're the R&D arm. We've actually got a manufacturer and distributor that will be building the actual units, and, of course, they look at everything from a profit-loss aspect. That's one of the reasons that we're aiming at the big truck market to start with, and then, directly following that. Right now, we've got the Ford 4654 engine family ready to go to production. The reasoning behind that is that's the large majority of your law enforcement vehicles and your small pickups and SUVs and Lincolns and things like this. And then it has to be done engine family by engine family because the electronics vary, and you've got to have it. We want a package that somebody can actually just bolt on, hook up, and go, and they don't have to be sitting there playing around trying to make it work on their car. So we'll develop it for each family and release it as we're happy with it.
Kind of a plug-and-play type of thing, like the Scan Gauge.
Exactly. We're actually, the box will be digital in production. The big truck boxes probably won't be because they don't need to be, but the car version will be USB or Bluetooth or something along those lines, and it'll work similar to an emission test or something now where they plug the car on the computer, and the mechanics or installers won't really have to know too much about what they're doing and follow the instructions and hook it up and then type in what kind of car and what size motor and what year, and then it will automatically program the digital chip, and that's all they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a publicly traded company, and if I understand right, you formed specifically with the purpose of introducing these types of products. What else do you have up your sleeve?
Well, without, you know, letting too much of the cat out of the bag, we're working on the next vehicle will be partially the hydrogen technology, partially electric, and that will include some regenerative braking type things. The Pro Cooler that I've already mentioned, that it actually reduces the horsepower required to turn the air conditioner, which is significant, especially on your smaller cars. And there's two or three other technologies that I can't name just yet, but you know, that's really how we view ourselves as a more of a technology company. We look like a car company at this point, but you know, we're really trying to bring some of the technologies to market. One of the things we ran into as individuals before was trying to take technology to the bigger companies and running into the roadblocks. So we've kind of opened ourselves up for people that think they've got something valid to, you know, give us a call. If it sounds like something they want to look at, we'll sit down at the table with them. If they've got something that, you know, we think we can work with, then we'll come to an agreement with them and try to get their technology promoted.
It's different from what you would hear from a motor company where they almost have a slam door shut policy toward outside ideas.
Exactly, and it's you know, that was a lot of the drive, honestly. I've known Ron for probably 25 years, and we both faced similar roadblocks to things that we had, and then he went private with his, and the Pro Cooler is a fairly large thing now. It was actually developed around the horses, but fairly large thing, and then one of the big three actually did test it and told him it wouldn't work. And then, you know, he produced it and it did. So, in a way, you know, maybe we can get back to the way it was years ago and you don't have to fight all the politics and things, and maybe we can get something done that the rest of them won't do.
Yeah. Now, what are the, you're a publicly traded company, what are the letters? Or?
It's RNNM, Ron Nancy Nancy Mike.
Okay. If somebody wants to get one of your vehicles, can they pre-order, or are you doing that?
Absolutely. Get on our website, ronmotors.com, Ron with two N's, and there's a section on there for pre-ordering cars, or, you know, there's phone numbers where they can call.
Okay. And can you disclose how many you've pre-sold?
There's several that are pre-sold. Some of them are waiting for us to get production before they send their actual initial deposit, but we've got quite a few. That's about the best I can tell you right now. I'm not exactly sure if I can give you the number, to be honest with you.
How many do you plan on producing?
It'll be a maximum of 200 a year. We actually think in this economy it's probably going to be more, you know, probably closer to 100 a year at least. You know, the first year or so, we're capable of doing 200 plus a year, but you have to have that many orders, so we're not probably going to see that until the economy turns a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Damon, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us your very exciting technology, both in terms of the muscle car end of it, it's a very nice-looking car, as well as taking the financing you've been able to use in research and development to make that available for other vehicles. Nice job.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net. And join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.
Lars Larson, your dog in the fight.
These days, the Associated Press, as far as I'm concerned, is an evil organization. An Associated Press photographer is taking pictures of soldiers on a mission. One of the soldiers was hit, unfortunately, by a rocket-propelled grenade. An Associated Press photographer took his picture as his fellow soldiers tried to save his life. His father begged the AP not to publish the photo, and the AP said, "We're going to do it anyway."
The Lars Larson Show.
Monday through Fridays at 10 p.m.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. News, weather, and traffic. Cave Creek, Phoenix. A division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. Dirty Dancing made him a movie star.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Actor Patrick Swayze has died of complications from pancreatic cancer. In the 1990s, he starred with Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg in Ghosts.
The man who killed me broke into our apartment and he's gonna go back, so you've gotta warn her.
Just what makes you think she's gonna listen to me?
It's just a phone call.
Barbara Walters interviewed Swayze earlier this year on ABC, asking him if he was scared of dying.
I don't know. I will be so either truthful or stupid as to say no. But then immediately when I say that, I have to say, yes, I am.
David Kaplan with People Magazine says Swayze worked as long as he could.
He did that show Beast, which was an A&E show, and it was, you know, later canceled. And he really, you know, garnered the strength. You know, he told people that this was really a project that was near and dear to him, that he was going to do it.
Swayze's publicist says the actor died peacefully with family at his side after facing the challenges of his illness for the last 20 months. Swayze was 57. A candlelight vigil held Monday night for slain Yale University student Annie Lay, whose body was found in the basement of a medical building on campus. Lay's friend Jennifer Simpson tells CNN she never believed Lay would run away 5 days before her wedding.
She was very much in love with John and vice versa, and they were just the absolute perfect couple, and it just wasn't even an issue.
No suspects are in custody, but investigators are questioning several people in the case. Not much information available on the terror-related police raids conducted Monday in New York City. We know the raids took place, no suspects were arrested, and some potential evidence was taken, but sources contradict New York Senator Charles Schumer by saying the raids were connected to the New York visit of President Obama. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents your muffler.
Hey, driver, it's my job to keep things quiet, right?
That's right, muffler.
There's something I can't keep a lid on. Ford's Owner Advantage Rewards.
Owner Advantage Rewards? What's that?
It's a loyalty program.
Ah.
It's Ford's way of saying thanks for your business. You can earn rewards on every dollar you spend on service for any car you drive.
Wow.
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. I know.
Sign up for your Owner Advantage Rewards at your local participating Arizona Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today.
If you've been looking for Pandora jewelry, look no further. Now it's at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
The incredible variety of Pandora charms allows you to create a bracelet that is a very personal history of your unforgettable moments. And Jared has an outstanding Pandora selection.
It can only be Jared!
Visit Jared on September 18th, 19th, or 20th and get a Pandora bracelet free with each $100 Pandora purchase. Available at most locations.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Pretty dry week ahead as our monsoon is on a pretty gradual wind down. Looks like we'll have some showers in the high country the next couple of days. Highs for the valley a bit cooler, 100 to 102. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.